Hello, beautiful, and welcome to Pure Happy Healthy. This is a podcast all about mindfulness in different fields that are dear to my heart. Join me for Mindful Me sessions, Mindful Model, Mindful Mensch, and Mindful Master, and dive into beautiful conversations. Hi, and welcome to another Mindful Model episode. Today I got a special kind of model. She is not working as a model, even though she could, because she's shining from inside and also looking beautiful from the outside. But she's more a role model for me, but for every single one of us. It's Rema Dashuri. If you haven't done so yet, check out the previous two episodes with her. We recorded in the past, and every single time I talk to her, it's just amazing what kind of topics come up, and we cover always so many different themes that we just stumble onto, and every time I learn so much from her. So I nominate her for the Mindful Model episode this week, because I feel like I can really, really learn from her, and I hope you will also learn a lot from her. We start out with kiwi and coffee, her breakfast, and we go further to talking about being available for situations. So basically the question, what made me available for this? And also talking a lot about relationships in this context. What made me available for this relationship, which is maybe not in my highest intention, or maybe is not good for me anymore, and what is making me stay in situations that are maybe not healthy for me in all aspects of life. Because usually we hold on to some pain or some drama, or also to fear, because it's protecting us from something. So we can really ask ourselves, why do we still need to hold on to these things? So we will dive very deep into this topic, talking about social media, guilt, shame, regrets, the spiritual community, worthiness, and working in PJs from home, and so much more. So this is a beautiful conversation, and I wish you so much joy and fun listening to it. And please leave me a 5-star review if you haven't done so yet on Apple Podcasts. That really helps to share the message. Take a screenshot of this episode and post it on your social media so more people can find it, and share this with family and friends, and yeah, just make people listen to this important messages which we're sharing. So without further ado, let's welcome Rema Dashuri to Pure Happy Healthy. So today I have beautiful Rema Dashuri in the interview again. We've been speaking already 2 times, but there's always so much to discuss. So yeah, hi and welcome.
Hello, Aman. I'm glad to be back again. I mean, after our conversation before hitting the record button, I mean, there's so many good things to say, you're right. So I'm excited to be back, that you're one of my favorite people to speak with. We always like create this beautiful container and get some really good content out of it. So I'm excited.
Yeah, and I learned from the past 2 times that now I hit the record button a little bit earlier, and I will start professionally asking the question I ask all my podcast guests, just to make this official as well. So I would like to know, what did you have for breakfast this morning? I know it's quite early for you and you just got up. So yeah, it's breakfast time, I suppose.
It is. It is 10:16 here. I have not eaten breakfast. I usually skip breakfast and go for lunch like around 1 or 2. So I've got my coffee here though, if that counts. See, that's not true. I ate my daughter's leftover kiwi slices from her lunch yesterday when I was packing her snack.
Oh yeah, that's real life. That counts. I mean, you know, there's never anything wrong with coffee. It's yeah.
Coffee and kiwi.
Yeah, and kiwi, of course, the vitamins and the caffeine. That's a good combination.
So it has like a cool ring to it too. Maybe that will be the name of my podcast. This is Coffee and Kiwi.
I love that.
Yeah, it just kiwi like top. Sounds like a cool name to like a shop or something, or like a clothing store. So anybody's welcome to take that who's listening.
Not if you're faster. So we can already make the commercial for you. Check out her podcast at Kiwi and Coffee in the future. So the last two times we were speaking, and also just before we started right now, you were saying that why did I make myself available for this? Or you were asking yourself, why did I make myself available? And the last time it was about getting dick pics and like weird men on Instagram that were texting you. And today it was in the context of men and relationship. And then it was also about work one time when you said, talked about clients, something that like some clients that you wouldn't want to have in your programs. So it seems like a big topic that you think about, like being available for something. And I'm really, really interested and curious. And I was already in the first time, but we didn't dive deeper there. Like, could you explain a little bit how you see it? How do you make yourself available? Because I mean, it's nothing that you consciously want, but how do you still make yourself available for this, and how can you prevent something like this?
So I guess I would start, I'm just gonna review over that story that we talked about briefly. I'm always asking myself, when something pops up into my life or my reality or my experience, whatever you're calling that, and it's something that I'm really not vibing with, that doesn't make me feel good, it feels off, I'm really not liking it, I first take accountability. And that's what that question is doing. It's help, instead of pointing the finger at the other person or blaming what your situation on somebody else, you immediately take accountability by going, how did I become available for this? There's something that I'm doing energetically. Maybe I'm not setting boundaries. Maybe I'm not communicating well enough. And it's different depending on, you know, what the topic is. But at least for me recently, this was in relation to my ex and a relationship that I had been in for 2 years. And I was really blind to that it was abusive, sometimes physically and definitely emotionally. And which is really, it's very vulnerable to talk about being a spiritual mindset and business coach and what I do online. But you know me, like I'm the queen of owning shit because we're all humans here, you know? So I remember being on the phone with my friend, like, the relationship had ended a couple weeks prior, same thing as every year, right before my birthday, November 4th and through the holidays. And I was just hurt and broken again. And that feeling of like emptiness that a lot of women feel, during breakups. And, you know, even though I know I'm a badass and I know that I'm all these things, like it made me so frustrated that at the hands of a man, I could just be like totally torn down and, you know, feel so powerless and so empty. And I was on the phone with a friend. And even though I've heard this before, I've asked this to my clients, I've asked this to myself, but there was, I think because I had been asking the question in my emptiness, it's not like I didn't have the tools. I have the tools. So I was asking myself, how did I become available for this? And the answer didn't necessarily come right away. But whenever we start to ask any question, we become available for the answers. And so it's really about just having faith and trusting that the answer is going to come. And so asking this question, like, how have I been available for this? And instead of, you know, feeling empty for the entire day, I would just go, you know, I would put my hand over my heart and go, you know, I'm going to make it through this. I had a lot more faith this go around, because it wasn't the first time we had broken up and been through something like this, but I was determined to get down to the bottom of it. And that's whenever I was on the phone with my friend and she asked me that golden question. She said, what did you like about the pain? And what did you like about the drama? And I heard it like I had never heard it before. I heard it because this time I was receptive. And I believe that it's because I was asking, like I wanted the answer. I was asking how did I become available for this? And I don't know where the information came from. You can say God or your higher self, but instantly there was this download of information that said, Rayma, this entire time you thought that you were healing your mother wound, when in fact your wound, the hurt version of you, was just getting what she wanted, which was pain and destruction, chaos and disappointment. And so, you know, it kind of shut the wounded version of me up. Like I was screaming, kicking and screaming less. And that's where like that turmoil and emptiness comes from, is whenever our pain isn't being met with pain. That feels weird and off, you know? So in that moment, I started to cry. And this time I wasn't crying because that person wasn't in my life anymore. I was crying for myself because I was just like, I am so sorry, Rhema. I had no idea that there was this part of you that was still in that much pain, and I completely missed it. And so I was able to just like, it was weird. Like I was able to hold myself for a moment. Like there was still this strong part of me that was able to like see and care for and hold this hurt version of me. And in an instant, I was made whole. And it was, I mean, it was this beautiful thing. I would say it was the, of 2020, it was the number one most eye-opening, breathtaking, beautiful, transformative experience that I had. And it was on November 3rd, the night leading up to my birthday. And, you know, it was great. And I didn't have plans for my birthday. I wanted, you know, I was like, I kept saying, God's going to take care of me. It's going to be the best birthday ever. And on that day, I ended up having this realization with love around love and relationships. I ended up healing my relationship with my mom and reuniting with my family. And all of this was totally random, like no plans. And so God is motherfucking good. Like, that's what I have to say. There was a couple forks in the road during that convo. But to answer your question directly, when we are available for something, we're doing something energetically and we're not always aware of it because we're operating from our subconscious a lot of the time. And it doesn't mean that we have to go digging for the answer, but sometimes I believe that willingness is one of the strongest vibrations out there, because sometimes we just have to be willing to receive the answers, the guidance, or the inspiration. We don't have to go digging for it. You know, we don't have to go searching for it. You are powerful enough to just sit in your vibe and trust and know it's going to come, and inevitably it must. So that's a question that I asked myself, how did I become available for this? And I don't really think that there's a way to prevent it. I just think that because we're always available for certain things, because we're always growing. Hopefully we're all growing. We don't want to say stagnant. So in this growth process, you notice more and more, oh, how have I become available for this? Or I am no longer available for this kind of treatment. Or even if it's money, I'm no longer available to just pay my bills and, you know, this extra, even if it's a large chunk of cash that you have, like, I'm no longer available for this. I am now available for more. And it's really just a choice that we're operating from energetically. You feel me?
Yeah, you said so many cool things I want to dive deeper into. I think what you just said is basically taking ownership, complete and full ownership for everything that happens to you. And I never used to understand that term in the past when people said that, take ownership for your life, or you're the cause of your whole life and everything that's around you. But now I completely understand it. And it is so powerful to understand that concept, because then you start not to blame other people anymore, or start to blame the system, or start to blame the government or other people, your parents or whoever it is, but you start to look at yourself and say, okay, like you have the responsibility and the power to change everything around you and everything about you. And that obviously can be painful for a moment, because you see what you maybe did not do correctly in the past, or at least not in terms of your favor, but then it gives you the opportunity to heal exactly at these points where you're not fully content with your life yet, and make yourself available to new things and make yourself not available to certain other things. And then you said also something really important. You ask yourself, why did I like this pain? And I think this is a very common thing. I also see a lot in my work as a hypnotherapist, that some people, actually most people, hold on to some sort of pain or to some sort of trauma, because something in them is not ready to let that go yet, because it serves a purpose. For example, that can be, I'm actually scared of starting the new job, or scared of going traveling, or whatever it is. And then people maybe start to get sick all the time and have really body symptoms, because something in them is scared and wants to prevent themselves from maybe traveling or doing that new job or whatever it is. So you're holding on to that pain in order to protect yourself, even though you don't understand the whole concept behind it. And I think if you understand why this is happening, why the symptom is coming out, and you understand why you think this, this is also so incredibly powerful. Like you said, why did I like this pain? Because then you can solve it. And then really the healing comes, and then you're so free to do whatever you want with your life and take the full ownership.
And you're right. It is hard and painful in the beginning. I'm the queen of telling people, let it be easy, let money, love, business, let it be easy. But that takes practice just like anything else. And I love using this analogy. I was just talking about this with a friend a couple of days ago. I love using the analogy of the caterpillar to the butterfly, because in the metamorphosis stage of the caterpillar, it's slowly broken down piece by piece to liquid. And then it's built anew with completely new DNA. And it's fascinating to understand that process. And I've always thought to myself, you know, because I'm a deep thinker and an analyzer, and I think about that process. I'm like, God, it's got to be painful. You know, it's got to be painful. Not every part of my journey has been, you know, butterflies and feel good. And I think that's a really common misconception of spirituality that I think is becoming more, I don't know if exposed is the right word, but more people are waking up to or understanding how to be more real with this process. And you've heard me say before, like, it doesn't look like anything. It's not an image, you know, or a specific process. It's just you. It's just you doing your thing. But it is difficult at first. And I was talking to a friend who came to visit from Georgia, and I was really trying to flow into his life. And he said, I know, I already know all this, Raymond. I was like, you don't know. You don't know any of this, because if you did, you would know what's on the other side of the thing that you're preventing yourself from doing. You don't want to feel the pain. You don't want to go through the hard part of this thing in your life that you're trying to change. And so if you already knew, then you would know how fucking good it gets to be on the other side, and you'd be willing to go through the process. So once you feel what it's like to be on the other side, when you feel yourself not die, and when you feel yourself reap the benefits of being on the other side, just like feeling happier, feeling lighter, being able to call things in like really creating a beautiful life, when another opportunity comes where you have to go through some painful or maybe just uncomfortable transition, you're just like, okay, it's going to be worth it. And really that's what makes it easier. So each time I go through these transitions, it's not that it's not uncomfortable or weird, because it's still unknown to me. It just is a lot easier because I know that what's on the other side is going to be worth it. I know I'm not going to die. I know that it's not the end of the world. I know that I've got this. And so it just gets easier and easier because I kind of like flow through those transitions with grace. Instead of like, I use this image of like being, you're like, you're so deserving, you're getting to the other side no matter what, because you're so fucking deserving and so loved. How you get there is your choice. You're either going to get dragged by your hair, kicking and screaming, or you could skip across the fucking park along the way. Like, it's just your choice how you choose to go, but you're going to go, you know? So it's a choice, and it's hard, but it's just get the first couple times over with, and it always does get easier, and it's so worth it. I mean, it's so worth it.
I'm glad that you say that you also have challenging times, because you are one of the most energetic and uplifting people I know. And sometimes it's hard to imagine, you know, that people like this also have their dark moments and have their difficult challenges, you know. And then when they say it to you, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, they're actually also human.
Human over here, totally human. Our call was scheduled for yesterday, and I messaged you and like last 10 minutes after the call was supposed to start, and we ended up rescheduling, and I had to get on the phone to my therapist. Like, it was like that. And I'm so glad that I did. But even whenever I was, and I don't deal with depression anymore. I've been depression free for a year, fucking hallelujah. But whenever I was still coaching and learning how to work with my depression, I would have to often tell clients like, hey, there will be days that we have a call and 5 minutes before the call, I finally get the balls to tell you, this isn't, we have to reschedule for next week. I'm so sorry. Like there, I had to be upfront with my clients and let them know that I will have mental health days because I am still growing. It doesn't, and I'm always going to be growing. This year has been a lot less reschedule. So like, I don't think that that's always going to be a thing, but I feel that it's important for anybody who wants to be great or be a teacher or help others in the world, it gets a lot easier when you let yourself be human. In the same way that spirituality doesn't look like anything, your profession doesn't have to look like anything. And this is what makes me just a bomb-ass business coach, honestly, because I give people permission to be themselves, to be human, and to be just totally real with the world and let them feel safe to be seen as they really are. And it just makes things so much easier. Every time I'm on a phone with a client or with you guys, like it feels like I'm talking to a friend. Like I'm not over here like overthinking or stressing or worrying. Like all I have to do is show up and be Rhema. And if something changes, I just have to be real about that. Like no big deal. It's all good. The humans are here to love and support me. We're all in this together. So it feels good. It feels good to just like let myself off the hook. And absolutely it's something that I try to be more transparent about online, because I feel like there's a lot of coaches out there that are talking about the positive stuff. And then sometimes, like at least the people that I really like that I follow online, sometimes I'm like, do they ever have anything bad happen to them? Do they ever go through anything? Because they don't really talk about it a lot. They almost talk about it as in like past tense, like they have a perfect life now and they don't really go through things now, but they used to. And I just don't believe that because life is life, you know? And it was a promise that I made to myself and my audience that I would always be really transparent and honest about where I'm at now, because people just need to know that being up here, whatever that looks like to other people, doesn't necessarily separate yourself from problems or drama or weird stuff that happens. Like there's always stuff. It just isn't as heavy. You know, it's more like stuff that just kind of passes through that you kind of notice, you know, versus like picking it up and like having to like, you know, constantly picking things up and getting heavier and heavier along the way until you have like a mental breakdown. You know, that was old Rhema. We don't do that anymore.
Yeah, I think we're really moving into a direction where we can all be more authentic. I see that a lot in social media nowadays. And you can hear it also on more podcasts that talk very openly about mental issues, depression, anxiety, eating disorders, and are really open about it. So I think we're really putting this more into the in the focus also and spotlight of society and talk about it in an open way so people know that this is also existing in society and everyone struggles in life sometimes. And we can also see that in terms of beauty ideals nowadays, that the photos are not so highly retouched anymore as they used to. And we see so much more different body shapes.
Oh my gosh, so much.
Yeah, and also people who, maybe are not up to the beauty ideal that is like up in society, and people who look really different show themselves on social media in a very confident and very showing way. So I think this is really beautiful that we start to get more confidence about who we are with all our also shadow parts of us and not only the sunny parts. And I think this is such a massive movement that I've observed in the past years. And I think the more people do that, the more it gives you the permission and the feeling that it's okay if you also share that. At least for me, it's that it makes it so much easier to share a vulnerable story if more people are out there who do that, and then it becomes less scary. So more people share their story again. And yeah, I think it's beautiful that we can all be an inspiration in this terms for each other and just let ourselves be human with all the parts that about it. And yeah.
I love where we're at in the world right now. And there are people that would disagree with me, but everything that you just said is a perfect example of honoring the process and like how far we've come. Like how far have we come as just humans on this planet just in the past 100 years, in the past 5 years, you know, a lot of what you're saying right now is stuff that is really new, like people getting online and being really authentic. Instagram is now less like a magazine. Like if you try to sell someone something in the old way, you know, people will scroll right by you. People want authenticity. People want something real. They don't want to feel like they're talking to a robot or just somebody that they can't connect with on the other side of a screen. And so I love to notice the progress that we've come in every area, whether that's social media or with our beauty standards, which we talked about that in the last one, or maybe it's the first one, but I'm always focused on honoring and noticing our progress, because by doing that is how you create more progress. And it's the same thing that we were talking about earlier, where when you're fixated on the problem, you're gonna find more problems. You're always going to find more problems when you're focused on the problem. So there are people that could give us a long list about what's wrong with the world today. And that's not going to help our evolution. And evolution is inevitable. But once again, how do we wanna get there? Do you want to go there gracefully, like skipping along the way? Or do you want to go kicking, screaming? Like it's happening one way or another. You can't stop evolution. Mm. So it's really healthy and in your personal life as well to notice your progress. Because most of the time we're always focused on where we're not, what we're not, what we haven't done yet. And that just creates more resistance with all of the things that you truly desire. And so this whole thing is a lot simpler than people make it out to be. It's a lot simpler. It's forgiving yourself quickly, judging yourself less, letting yourself be a human. And ultimately at the bottom of everything that I do is just teaching people how to love the fuck out of themselves and their decisions, getting behind them and just like being happier. The goal here is really to feel good. Like that's your only job as a human on this planet is to feel good. And all the magic happens from there. You know, but because we're good humans and we're good people, we, you know, start to put our human fingers in places that it shouldn't belong. And we're just like, but I need to fix this and I need to figure this out and I need to understand this more. And, you know, and it's all for the sake of just wanting to improve, but sometimes less effort is what ends up giving us the quicker answer, solution, or whatever it is we're seeking. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Which brings me to another topic that you shortly were talking about before we hit the record button. That you said, like, people always wait for the thing to come, like also about manifesting. They're like, wait, I manifested this, like to this time, why is it not here yet? And I actually talked about this with a friend the other night, that an astrologer gave her a reading and said that in 2.5 years, she will have that goal completed. And then she said to me, oh, that it sucks because it's 2.5 years still, but I feel like I'm already ready for it now. And I kind of want to go there already now. And then I told her, I was like, okay, this is just an astrology reading. It can give you some direction, but it doesn't mean that you have to wait 2.5 years now. You can take all the steps now and work towards it. And it's not something that is set in stone. And you can also be here in the moment now and take the steps that it needs to get there and enjoy them already in the now. Yes. So I think a lot of people look too much in the future of their end goal and think, oh, but then in maybe from a date that they set in mind, then I'm be happy, or then I have perceived this, and then I will do that, instead of being in the now, but also not being so fixed on dates or something that other people tell them where they should be in a time.
Oh gosh, and there are so many things that I want to say about this, but the first thing I want to say is there is nothing outside of you that gets to say who you are, what you get to do, what you get to have, like absolutely nothing. Anytime we go to somebody outside of ourselves, whether that's tarot cards or a sign from the universe or a person or an expert, there's nothing and no one more powerful than you, period. Like that's our first like core beliefs right there. Like that's what we need to respect and honor within ourselves. these things are good tools, because let's say the tarot cards don't come out how you wanted them to, or the astrologer says something that doesn't really resonate with you or make sense to how you're feeling inside. This is all good things. Even if the sign, let's say you don't get the sign from the universe that you asked, or maybe you asked two signs, like a yes and no kind of thing, and then you're disappointed because you didn't get the sign that you wanted. These are all great things, because now you have given yourself permission to do the thing that you really want to do. The other thing wasn't like the set in stone, as you said. It was more something to help you get really clear about what you wanted. Okay, thank you, astrologer. You've helped me realize that I'm ready for that now by telling me that I wasn't. The signs or whatever that is, like, thank you, sign, for not showing up, because you made me realize that I do want to pull the trigger on this thing. I am ready for that. You know, sometimes it's, and I don't know if my grandfather told me this, but it was like, you know, you flip a quarter in the air and heads or tails. And if it lands on tails and you're disappointed, then you know to go with whatever the heads was, you know, because it kind of, it's just helping you become less indecisive. It helps you get clear on what you want. So I still love all these fun things. Like, I love astrology. It's really fun. I love signs, but I never let anything outside of me kind of dictate where I get to go, you know, or who I get to be. I think that's it's giving away too much power. It's giving away way too much power, you know. I believe that, like, the stars get to say, you know, who I get to be and where I get to go. Like, it just doesn't. Something about that doesn't make sense to me.
You basically already answered it with what you just said, but I want to put it in a question. Do you believe in destiny, or that some path for you on earth, let's call it, is predestined?
I don't. I believe that we create that. I believe that the destiny that I do believe in is it's not even destiny. We're all great. It's all in us. Like, you're just fucking chosen because you are, because you decided to participate here on planet Earth in that sexy human body. Like, welcome. How's the planetary vacay going? Hey, everyone. Hello. And other than that, like, it's just, this is your playground. And what do you want to do? Do you want to sit at home, raise kids, and just like, and, you know, like, enjoy the home life? Do you want to go to Africa and help the children and build the wells? Like, what do you want to do? What do you feel called to do? And it's just constantly watering that. We get to create our destiny. And there's multiple things. Will I be a life coach forever? Who knows? Maybe I'll be an author and I'll start. I don't know. I don't care what Rayma 10 years from now is doing. I'm having fun doing this right now. You know, like, so I let myself have the freedom to just constantly in that moment be creating, what life does Rayma want right now? What do I want to give to other people? What makes sense? What makes my heart whole? What do I feel called to? And I'm just creating that in the moment. It's almost like people using divine timing, like it's something way over there. I'm like, oh my, it's an eye roll to me. I don't believe in divine timing. Divine timing is right now. Your destiny is right now. What you want to do and who you are, it's all right now, right here in your fucking face. You know? And so it just makes you feel a little bit more alive and less questions. I always go to a place where I have to question my reality less. Because when we get into the questions of like destiny or whatever, now people may think that some people really don't believe that they have a destiny, you know, because they start to think about who they are now and how are they going to get there. It's a doorway for more questions, I feel like, based on how they might look or what skills they may or may not have. Destiny has this like heavy, I don't know, like there's this pressure to it, you know, like the superhero vibe, you know, like your destiny and what you're here, like here to do, change the whole world kind of thing. And so I take the pressure off by reminding people that you just kind of get to create that in the moment. It's not something that's, you know, I don't believe that it's predestined. I'm open to hearing what other people say about that. I have an astrologer friend who is convinced that the only reason Rayma is doing what she's doing today is because that's on her chart and whatever. And that's just like, you know, so it's, and I'll leave with this. What I believe really doesn't matter. It's more about what you believe. The person that's listening to this right now, what do you believe about how life works for you, what feels good for you. You know, what I'm saying might not resonate, but it really doesn't matter. That's the whole point of this playground, is if you want to believe that it's predestined, then that's what you get to do, because we all get to make our choice about how it gets to be, you know, and there's no wrong answer. So it's just, it's, I believe what feels fun for me in that moment, you know, and I support my friends and their beliefs along the way, because that's ultimately what world peace is to me. Is I can support my astrologer friends. I can support all the people that believe in all the weird, crazy things like the spaghetti monster or whatever new religion, like newest hot religion that's out there. It's like, that's cool. Do your thing, girl. I love you. And thanks for being here.
Yeah, I love that you remind me and the listeners every single time again that life is a playground and life is supposed to be fun, because I think we tend to forget a lot of times that life is happening now and life is supposed to be fun. And really the goal is to be happy, what no matter what that means to you. Like you said, if you're a mom and raising kids is what makes you happy, then that's beautiful. Or if financial success or just being around beautiful people, if whatever makes you happy, that's really the goal and can look so different. And then we can support each other in each other's goals and just let the other person be in the person that they are. And I, every single time we talk about this, and I'm so grateful that you say that every time again, because I think we, especially in these times right now, where a lot of people are really struggling with a lot of different things in their life, it's so good and so necessary to remember that life is about, yeah, the moment and enjoying the moment and fun. And what I'm just asking myself sometimes, because I think I'm pretty similar to you. I really, just love doing the things I love to do. And also, yeah, sometimes do crazy things. And I think I really walk my path and I'm a really happy and joyful person. But I do have less now than back in the past, but I still do have these moments again when I feel guilt, when I'm a very playful and I just let go. Let's say I'm at a party and I've already been on that party for way too long, and I stay in the party for a really long time, and I know, okay, the next day I have to do something. I made a commitment, maybe it's a podcast interview or whatever it might be, and I know if I will stay at the party I won't be able to manage this. And if otherwise I will have to go, even though I'm really enjoying the moment. And then I get this feeling of guilt, like, oh, I shouldn't have stayed so long already, whatsoever. First of all, my question, do you know this feeling as well? And what's a solution for stuff like this? Like when the guilt shows up, when we're having too much fun, we do?
You're not gonna like this response, but I'm not as familiar with it now. I'm allergic to guilt and shame because I played into that as a child for so long. And I just made a promise to myself that I'm not gonna do it. I'm not going to feel guilty or shameful. I wouldn't say that there's too much fun. I like to believe that my soul or spirit is all naturally balanced. Like I don't have to try to balance play and work or health or all this stuff. I believe that I do that naturally. As long as I'm not putting myself through guilt, shame, self-consciousness, fear, when I remove all of those things and I get to do what I want to do in the moment, then it gets to be okay. Because how often does Rayma actually go out and stay up until 7 o'clock in the morning? Like not really often. And I let myself do that actually a lot the last quarter of 2020. And I still got my stuff done. I still hit my Q4 goals. Like everything still worked. Had I been overthinking that in the moment, I don't even want to know what would have happened, because it really doesn't matter. It all ends up working out. And it goes back to this saying that I really did not like hearing as a kid, but my dad really never gave me any advice other than always saying that it was going to be okay. And I didn't like that because I wanted substance. Like it frustrated me, but he was right. Every single time it was okay. And just like the party that you know, whenever you stayed out the next day, you know, that day is done. It's in the past. Did you get your stuff done that day?
Yeah.
Right? Like it ended up being okay, right? So you still partied and then you got it done to the extent that you got it done, whatever, in whatever way you got it done, but it got done, you know? And so what's the point of guilting and shaming ourselves whenever, because we think that it has to look like something. Oh my gosh, I can't go out drinking, especially in the spiritual community. Oh my gosh, we can't, it's like being in like a uniform church school or something. It's just like, you have to be perfect. You can't make mistakes. Like I just got done admitting I was in an abusive relationship for 2 years. Like I'm a spiritual mindset and business coach. There was massive amounts of guilt around that. Like I have to be perfect for the world and for my clients. Like I don't go through things or I can't miss stuff in my reality. Like I have to be this whole human all the time. And that's just, I feel like what makes us whole is being more transparent and being okay with having it problems or experiencing guilt or shame or whatever. You know, that's what makes us the best version of ourselves, is instead of letting perfection be like this image, is perfect is always what you are right now. So the guilt and shame are very, very, to answer your question directly, because I love doing this thing, right? Like, you know how I work. To answer your question directly, I would say that no, guilt and shame is not part of my experience as much anymore, because I know that I'm going to get there. I barely worked at all the past 2 months, November and December. And I didn't overthink it. I somehow still hit my goals. I somehow still made it work. Everything still worked for me. And I don't believe I would have been able to do that had I been stressing and obsessing over the political climate or the financial climate of my country. I just wouldn't have been able to operate at my best had I been playing under guilt and shame. Guilt and shame is never going to help you. It's only going to hurt you. So if you know that, you know, remove the guilt and the shame and then let yourself do whatever it is that you were doing. And then as you, you know, maybe next time you plan better before you go to the party or whatever. But like, these are very little things that like humans like us tend to like put a magnifying glass under. And once again, we're putting our human hands where they shouldn't be. And we're trying to figure it out when it's really not that big of a deal. Often when people, at least, especially my friends or new friends, when they see how I run my business or my businesses, like in the past, they're like, wait, this is all you do? Like, because they see Rema Dasheri online, they go, oh my gosh, like they have this image of me in their head and they have this image of how my business is run. And like, and I think we've talked about this, like you should see my room right now. Like I forget to take out the trash. Like I'm a typically like kind of messy person. Like my clothes are wrinkly. I hate ironing. Like if it were up to me, I would never cook another meal in my life. Like, you know, I'm very like, oh gosh, I'm over here just a whole hot mess. And I started to really thrive when I just let myself be a hot mess. Like I let myself be Rema. Same. I mean, I talk about this in some of my business courses, like organization. Everybody thinks that business means books and accountants and organization. I've never had an accountant in my life. I've never done books for my business in my life. Rema created a different way to get those things organized. That is a way easier version than accountants and doing books and stuff. Like I worked with a girl that was doing books for 2 hours a week, all for the sake of like taxes and stuff. And I'm just like, oh my God, that is a whole section of your year. Like we're talking about a lot of time for something so ridiculous. Like we humans are interesting, man. When somebody tells us that this is what we have to do, we believe it. And it just doesn't have to be that way. So the less you judge yourself, forgive yourself quickly, let yourself be the whole hot mess, whatever that looks like. And what's the worst that's going to happen if you just play into that for a little while? Just a little while, just try it and see what happens in your life. You're going to find that, oh my gosh, I didn't die. The business is still running. My friends are still there. I'm still having fun. I'm still getting my stuff done and it's all good. So I like to believe that I'm naturally balanced. I don't have to try to do that. So when I want to go play, I just go do that. I'm always tapping into myself and going, what does Rema want to do? I don't get pressured by friends to go out when I don't want to go out. I don't force myself to really do anything. If I want to stay in bed until 3 o'clock because I'm really tired that day, then that's what I do. you know, and that's far few in between, but still, like, can you imagine me forcing myself to get out of bed when I feel like fatigued and for whatever reason, you know, like women monthly stuff. And I'm just like, fuck it guys. Like, just do your thing, be happy and just try it. Just try letting yourself do what you want to do with the sake of responsibilities. Like, I still have to take my daughter to school, you know, like we still have to feed the kids. But these are like basic survival human stuff that we're talking about, but you guys get that. So just try it, try letting yourself be, because, and you will find that you're naturally balanced. You can trust yourself. You can trust yourself when it comes to the parties or work or how you want to do things. And really that's this whole game is learning how to trust yourself and rely on yourself when making decisions. And that's what real unconditional self-love is trusting yourself with your decisions and getting behind them. And to get behind them, you can't have guilt or shame. Guilt or shame does not exist inside a person that fully knows and trusts themselves and is getting behind their decisions. It doesn't matter what the decision is, because there's no right or wrong. There's no good or bad. That doesn't exist. Throw that out the window, make your decision and get behind it. That's your job.
I love that you just said, like, the more you dive down who you really are and the more you trust yourself and your intuition, the less you will have guilt and shame, because it's really all about that. How can you be guilty when you fully trust yourself that you, in my example, will get everything done and that everything will be okay? And when you completely trust your inner voice, you know everything will be okay, and you can let yourself go and do whatever it is, because you have that inner guidance. And I completely agree that, especially in the spiritual community, there are so many voices that tell you how things are supposed to be like, and especially also in the business world, I would say that that's the easiest way on how to make these papers. That's the way this is supposed to be done. And there are so many rules and regulations. And I was always asking myself, I was like, okay, maybe some person has set this up, but as we're all individuals, maybe this works for one kind of business or for one person. That doesn't mean that it automatically counts for me and that my brain works exactly the same structure. And that I'm supposed to be or do the stuff like this. And I think it's important also here to really listen to your inner self and to listen what the best way to do your business is for you, or the way to live your life. Like you said, you have a completely different system and it works for you because your brain works different than the one from other people. And then also we were talking about just before getting started that you like to sleep in and like to sleep until 10 o'clock or such. And I mean, look at you, you still get all your stuff done. And there will be so many voices in the spiritual community that tell you, you have to wake up at 5 or 6 in the morning in order to be successful in life. And I think you're the living proof that.
Oh yeah, I have friends that do that wake up at 5 and they work out and then they do their business stuff. And it's like, you know, I don't really see much of a difference, except for I look and feel a lot less stressed than they are. But that works for some people. You know, if you want to get up at 5, that is your thing, but don't get up at 5 because somebody told you that's what you have to do to be successful. That's living under a limiting belief that success is only going to come to somebody who loses sleep. And this is crazy that we're talking about this, because I was with a group of friends this past weekend, and I was playing a motivational video for them as they were working. And I kind of paused it and I was like, by the way, this is ultimately true, but I love what they're saying. We'll keep listening, because it's, you know, some of those motivational speakers will be like, get up, do it 100%. Get up at 5 a.m. You're gonna lose sleep. You're gonna have to sacrifice. And that works for some people, not Rayma. Rayma gets to have what she fucking wants to have without sacrificing sleep or time with my daughter or a social life with my friends or, you know, like sex on the weekends with my new man. Like, I'm not going to give these things up. Like, these are great, beautiful parts of my life. Like, and the motivational video was ultimately saying, give up 10 years for the next 40. And I don't believe that you have to do that, especially as parents. That was a struggle that I had, because I had dated people that did give up their time with their kids and really weren't able, but now they're able to provide for their kids on like an insane financial level, but they lack that emotional connection with their kids because they were always working when they were kids, you know? So it's, there is magic in just removing the limiting beliefs. And I'm going to use your example about the party. The magic in all of this is, let's say you remove the guilt, stayed out of the party, and the next day, maybe you realize that some of the stuff that you had to do really wasn't that essential. Or maybe you were forced to take a shortcut, and upon that shortcut, you found, oh, wow, this works better than how I would have done it if I had not stayed out all night at that party and kind of been pressured to look at the situation a different way or approach it a different way. I would have never done it, right? So because life is always working out for you, there are no mistakes. There are no mistakes. I've been put into a pressured situation, financial situations, stuff with like family. And one of my favorite people, actually the guy that I'm dating right now, says this, and he says, pressure makes diamonds. And it's true. We really do work well under pressure, because whenever we're thrown in those situations, we go, oh, wow, I can do this a different way. There was always a different way. There was a shortcut. This was not essential. And now we're getting into like procrastination and stuff. Like I've studied those things as well. Like your to-do list. Sometimes a lot of the things on the to-do list, you're just writing it on there to write it. You know, it's not because it actually needs to get done. Sometimes we just like to make more work for ourselves because writing that long to-do list makes us feel like we're about to be productive. So it makes us feel better sometimes when really like those things don't need to get done. They're really just the things that you need to get okay with not being done. Like, you know, maybe it's detailing the car once a year is just how it is. It doesn't have to be every month. You know what I mean? So ultimately there's magic. What I'm saying is there's magic in trusting yourself, and it feels weird at first, but sometimes you're put into a situation where that you wouldn't have been in before had you not stayed out of the party or had you not accidentally missed that, whatever it is. And as long as you're continually removing the guilt and the shame, you are available to see the lesson. You're available to see the gift in your reality at that moment. But if you bring that guilt and shame into the next day, you're not going to see it. You're only creating more problems, more guilt for yourself. Now you're a bad business owner. Now you're a bad teacher because, you know, and now you're really in the hole. And the further you dig your grave, the harder it is to get out, you know? So this is why removing guilt and shame and self-consciousness and fear are so important, because none of those things serve you. And they're only blinding you to the solution, the answer, the guidance. They're blinding you to the shortcut. They're blinding you from ease, grace, and flow in your life and business.
Talking about getting stuff done with a shortcut, I read a statistics that 80% of all the stuff is done in 20% of the time in all companies and with all freelancers everywhere. And was blowing my mind, because it made me actually quite sad thinking about all the people who sitting there hours in the office, but then actually it's so unnecessary because maybe just from all the 8 hours or even more, they just would need to work 2 hours basically. That's what it would mean, right? But if I look at myself, I think it's true. When I have a deadline or like I know something needs to be done, I'm quite fast and I can get stuff done. You know, you know it's gonna happen, and then the magic happens. And I'm really excited about the next years up to come, because I think the whole pandemic situation has really changed the way on how people look to work and their time especially. And yeah, like a lot of people work from home, and that means that no one is watching you when you can work. So you can actually only work 2 hours and get everything done in the 2 hours, and stuff like this. Or people want to work less and rather spend more time doing different things, or maybe found new passions. So I'm really excited and very curious about the development that we will see in the work and business world. I think it's going to be massive.
Mm-hmm. I think so too. And thank you for bringing that up. I think that even people who don't necessarily feel called to start a business or do something that typically allows for more freedom, maybe we're creating more freedom for all humans as a whole through this contrast with the pandemic. With the example that you just saw, like people are, bosses and business owners are realizing, oh, we can trust people to work from home, and they're working faster, they're working better. Maybe they're creating better content or doing their job better because they're happier. They're not having to get dressed and drive to work in those bright lights, you know? I mean, I think that it's a positive. I don't know any of the statistics out there, or like, I don't look into any of that, but oh, at least that's something that I would love. Like if I had an office job, I would love nothing more than to be at home and, you know, be in the comfort of my PJs in my couch or my bed. Like I love working in my bed. I love eating in my bed. I love it. So I want that for all the humans, because not everybody wants to start a business. And so I think that it's really cool that we're allowing for more freedom and just more relaxation and more feel good in the workforce for everybody in general, like the working class, you know, if that's what we're calling them, right? Is that, would that be considered the working class, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So I think that's great, because now, I mean, everybody from every different industry or job and class or whatever is getting a benefit to this, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah.
I like that. I people deserve that. We do.
I read another cool quote yesterday, and it was about like people complain when you show up on social media with a little clothes on, and they say, "Oh, he's selling her body." But then when people work 9 to 5 or even more and don't get the time to work on their body and basically selling their body to a company, or people in the factories completely messing up their body for some employer, then that's not selling your body. That's the same concept. You're selling your physical body, basically. Yes.
But I know what you're talking about. Somebody read it to me last week. That's really? Why. Yeah.
It is so true. And it really made me think about it. I was like, okay, yeah, that's so crazy. So many people in society really sell their health, their well-being, their happiness to some foreign employer, like foreign in terms of not in their zone, and nothing that is their goal. And basically they're selling so much of their well-being to someone else and sacrificing that. It's very concerning. And that's also another hope for the future, as we're just saying that hopefully this all changes and we can, yeah, create a better work-life balance.
Yeah, of course it will. I mean, we've gotten, I mean, every, just like the progress, focusing on the progress. We've come so far with treating people well in the workforce, even in other countries, you know, I mean, slave labor, I mean, is still a thing, but people are talking about it more. There are companies in other countries that have changed their standards because, you know, the clients don't want to work with people who are engaging in slave labor, you know? So, I mean, just from talking about the things and people saying what they want and the interwebs, you know, it's really helped big industries like that, like Apple or whatever, go, oh, wow, we need to change some of the ways that we're doing things because people don't like it. People aren't going to want to buy our products. People aren't going to want to work for us. People aren't going to want to buy from us if, you know, we keep operating our system this way. So it's, I mean, once again, it goes back to evolution. Everything is evolving, and it's working out for everyone for the better. It's just hard to see that because, you know, it's evolution we're talking about all the time, you know? So whenever you're like on this little tiny dot on this giant timeline of evolution, you know, it's hard to honor where you're at sometimes, but, yeah, there's issues. Yeah, there's things that can improve, and there always will be. But focus on the progress, because we've come such a long way. I'm so proud of ourselves. And, you know, I can't even imagine what the world's going to look like in 100 years. If there's even going to be a working class, you know, if there's going to be universal basic income, I would love that. I would love for all humans to just be getting paid because we're here. Just to be getting paid because you are born as a human on this planet. you get X amount to live, like your, at least your survival needs are taken care of. And we're more than capable of that. That is definitely a system that can work in some way that somebody just needs to come up with somewhere down the road. And I do believe that that's going to happen in the next 100 years because we're badass like that. Like we've done so much and we've done so much. Of course we're capable and we're only becoming more aware of other people's needs around us. We're only becoming more loving towards one another, even though it doesn't appear to be that way right now. When you really think about, I mean, I think we talked about this, like when it comes to racism, women's rights, I mean, those are things that were, yes, we're still working on, but it's not where it was 100 years ago. So, you know, like look at the progress. And if we've come this far in 100 years now with the technology and information and the rate we're able to spread knowledge, I mean, where the next 100 years, it's going to be a lot faster than what it took us to get from then to now. We're only going to be a lot quicker. Like, I feel like evolution is just going to pick up speed, you know, like a ball kind of like rolling down a hill. It's just, we're just getting faster at it. And it's kind of like, kind of gives me chills to think about. Like, I'm like, what is my daughter going to see when, you know, at the age of like 50 or 60, like what kind of world is she going to be living in? And I'm excited for her. I'm excited for that generation because they're going to get to experience, I feel like a highlight of a key that our generation kind of turned, because we've seen a lot of changes with millennials and this whole generation. And so I'm excited to see what the younger generations do with it. It's that saying that goes like, our ceiling is their floor, you know? And it's cool to think about how they're going to utilize it and what they're going to do with it and where they're going to go.
Actually, talking about basic income, now in Germany, we have a trial period of basic income for a selected group of, I don't know how many thousands of people, but they want to check if it actually works, that system. And hopefully it will work. And then they want to make it in a bigger scale. So the trial is already working from now from until 2 years from now. There is already the first steps taken. And I know of five other communities, let's call them, around the world who already have the basic income, and it works really, really well. The thing is, it has never been tried in a big country as a whole, but only in communities. But in the communities, it's proven to work really well. So I think this is actually not that far in the future. I think it can and it will hopefully happen in more places, because like you say, it gives the human rights that we have just by being born, you know, like money for food, clothing and housing, no matter where we stand in life and what we do with it. And I think it's a really, really cool concept. But we've already been talking more than an hour again. Rema, it was so incredibly beautiful as usual to speak with you. And I just want to thank you for being this beautiful light. Like every time I speak with you, I can really feel like sunshine in my heart. And I hope all the listeners can feel that too. And I just saw that on your arm, you have a tattoo of, I believe it's the formula of serotonin. Is it?
No, it's actually DMT.
Ah, okay. I thought it was serotonin, and I was going to say like, this is absolute suiting well, because I get serotonin speaking with you, because you're just such a light. So thank you for being you and bringing your light into the world and in my podcast.
Thank you, Aman. I absolutely love chatting with you every single time. So whenever you asked, I was like, let's do it. Let's party. I'm ready. So thank you, everyone, for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed this one. It was fun. I love where we go with these topics. It's never planned. We just kind of like flow and we hit all the points, and it's really fun. So thank you for inviting me. I can't wait to do it again. And I love you so much.
Love you too. And we will definitely repeat this.